Morning, everybody.
Morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And DMYF choir, Kalome, Laupal, Malson, Cherose. We are delighted to be able to celebrate this Easter with you. And, you know, one of the things that I struggle with every year is just... Why isn't it bigger? You know, why isn't Easter just the I don't know, why don't we blow the roof off the place? Are you with me? You know, I mean, why don't we just get down? Why aren't we like hallelujah? You know, and I think, you know, well, we are in our society, you know, always afraid. We're afraid that we're going to be like fanatical people. Do you know what I'm saying? I think today we call them extremists if you believe too much about something. Works both ways. Afraid of standing out. Afraid of, you know, looking funny. Afraid of being crazy. But come on, people, can you think of something that has happened in the history of the world that is greater than Jesus being raised from the dead? I can't. And you see, it makes all the difference in the world to me. Because now I don't have to live in fear of death, and neither do you. Isn't that worth a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
There we go. He is risen.
He is risen.
And that has made all the difference in the world. I kind of think about, like, what kind of celebration would you have? What would it look like? We could, you know, I could coax you into shouting hallelujah and jumping up and down and hooting and hollering and all the rest of this stuff. Is that it? And then I think, well, you know, what would it be like if we could just come together, if we could make it really, really big? And, you know, what would it be like if we came together in the four languages that we worship in this church on a Sunday morning, and we all did it together? Would that be amazing? And then the question is, well, how do we all fit in the same room? And what songs are we going to sing? And what happens if I don't get to sing the song that I want to sing? Do you understand what I mean? I mean, it's just, oh, really? And then, see, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and here we are arguing about stuff that doesn't matter because you got everlasting life to sing whatever song you want to before his throne, amen? So why do we get hung up on these things? And why don't we go downtown and go to Wells Fargo Arena and instead of being known for showing up for basketball, every church in town show up to be known for praising the Lord who rose from the dead and gave us life and forgiveness and grace. And I think, wow, I mean, that would be really something. And you know, there's one reason I think that we don't do it. Do you know what it is? Who gets the offering? I know, but see, this is what I'm talking about, right? This is the whole thing we have today to celebrate the greatest thing that has ever happened in human history, the miracle of the resurrection, and yet we worry about who's going to pay the bill. We worry about how we're going to keep the church running, which is why I really wanted Mike to come up here today and make the announcement about the mortgage, because here's the deal. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. See, Jesus' resurrection opens for us a completely new way of living. It is called living by faith. And to put it simply and succinctly on this Easter Sunday morning, to live by faith is simply to live knowing that the resurrection is true and that Jesus is alive. And that if Jesus is alive and he's here with us now by the power of the Spirit, and he'll go home with you today by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the hymn said that we sang this morning, he lives in me by his Spirit, he lives in you by his Spirit, because you believe, think about what kind of an impact that would make on our lives if every day that's how we lived. Lord, I don't know what today holds, but you do. And I'm not afraid of it. And I'm going to face whatever it is, come trial or tribulation or great joy or just a ho-hum day, because you're with me. And because all authority on heaven and earth has been given to you. And I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. And I'm not going to devote my life to triviality. Instead, I'm going to rejoice in eternity. And I'm going to live every day eternally. I'm going to focus on the things that matter. I'm going to focus on the people. I'm going to focus on how it is that they need to be loved, because Jesus has shown me great love. Everything that we do comes about because of this resurrection. Because Jesus is raised from the dead, it's God's way of saying, look, he was right. And the things that he said, they're absolutely true. Now go ye therefore and do likewise. Carry this gospel with you wherever you go. Say it with words, but live it in the way that you live your lives. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what people think about you. Instead, only concern yourself with what God thinks about you. Because we live out our life every day as if it were living out before an audience of one. And his is the only opinion that matters. To be a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be loved all the time. Do you remember some of the things that Jesus said? It's kind of funny because we forget sometimes. The whole resurrection thing means that everything that he said is true, because who taught us about the resurrection? Jesus did, right? And didn't he say, it is necessary that the Son of Man be turned over to sinful men, that he suffer torment, that he die on the cross, and on the third day be raised from the dead? Well, doesn't that show he knows what he's doing? Doesn't that show that it was a plan, it was no accident? And then he invites us into that life. And he says, come on, follow me. Deny yourself every day. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's something. To follow him into a life of obedience to the will of God, not being afraid of death because of Easter, that's not the end. I'm thinking about people today. I'm thinking about those, it's a strange weekend. Al Perez called yesterday and asked that we pray specifically for, and I want to do that, two Des Moines police officers who were killed in the line of duty Friday night. Susan Farrell and Carlos Puente Morales killed in a car accident. Terrible thing. They were just on their way to work, if you will. Do we need to be afraid of that? And can we bring comfort to their families? Absolutely. Why? Because we know the great comfort that we ourselves have received from God. The fact that this is not the end. That in Jesus, life continues. And not only does it continue, but it's better. Last night, too, Mark Whitsett, a former member of this congregation, passed away. We have one of our meso ladies sick and in hospice care, probably going to pass away in the next day or so. What do we say to all this? Do we give up? No. We strive forward, and we are able to bring comfort and relief to those who suffer. This is what we've been called to. To follow Jesus in light of Easter is not to have a happy-dappy life where everything's going to go your way. To follow Jesus in light of Easter doesn't mean that you're going to go from blessing to blessing and there will be no pain or anguish. To follow Jesus in light of Easter is to know that in spite of the cross, that in spite of the torture, in spite of the betrayals of this life, there is life to come. And we shall be raised, because he rose, and he is the one that we follow. It is to look at death no longer as this final thing, but instead simply a doorway that leads from this life into the life to come. And to get rid of the fear and the trepidation that we have in this life, because, you know, sometimes we get caught up into living as if death were the worst thing that could happen to us. And in fact, it isn't. Remember what Jesus said? He said, don't fear those who can kill your body. He said, no, just fear him who can take your soul to hell. Oh, that's a cheery thing to say in the morning on Easter, isn't it? But you know, there's a reason that Jesus rose from the dead. There's a reason that he was put on the cross. Do you remember what it is? It's the fact that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. Sherilyn read it this morning, Luke 24. I'm going to read some of it again for you now because this is what it's all about. On that first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and they went to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. How come? He's risen. What happened there? Just like, bye. It's like watching Netflix and the little round thing spins around and around and around. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Okay, good. "Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. "And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened." Isn't that interesting? They didn't believe because their words seemed to them like nonsense. People, I mean, I think that a lot of us live there. We don't understand the whole resurrection thing because we don't understand why we need to be saved. I think Jesus addressed this so marvelously. Do you remember in Luke 15, he told the story about the two lost sons? And you know, there was one of them, and he was so bad. I mean, he just really, he ruined his life. And you remember, he got all depressed about it. And he said, "Father, I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And you see, I think there's a lot of people like that. I think probably half the people on planet Earth, they understand something about sin. They know they've messed up. They know that they can't please God. Then that, what do they think? Well, they think that they're no good then. And they think that there's nothing that they can do to satisfy this God. They'll never be with him in paradise or whatever. Why? Because, they've done terrible things. Think about Zacchaeus. You remember him? He didn't think he was worthy to sit down and eat with Jesus. He didn't think he was worthy to stand in line and meet him. Instead, he climbed a tree just so he could watch. But yet, what happened? Jesus invited him in. Do you remember there was another story, and there was a woman, and she had a really hard life. She was selling herself for sex all the time, and everybody in town knew it, but she came to Jesus. Do you remember? And she got down, and she washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, anointed him with sweet-smelling perfume. And you remember what he said? He said her sins were forgiven. See, that's who Jesus is. And so if you're struggling with this today that, you know, as you're just not good enough and everything, you know, here's the thing, none of us are. But you see, he did what he did for us so that we could be with him because his love conquers all. It'll give you a new life, a fresh start. And does it get easy? No. Are you going to go forward and be sinless from now on? No, you're going to be like the rest of us and you just have to repent every day and say, "Well, Jesus, here I am a sinner and I need a Savior and that's you. But now, take me as I am and use me and let me step out boldly because I know that you're with me. You go with me into everything." You remember there was another son too. And he kind of represents all the people in the world who can't figure out what they need to be saved from, because here's the thing, they've never really sinned. I mean, okay, sure, you know, they did little things or whatever, but nothing big. I mean, they never murdered anybody, they never got hooked on drugs or alcohol, never sold themselves for sex, never did that, never did this, never. You go to the house and, you know, it's pretty much perfect, and they got the whole family lined up, and, you know, I mean, everything looks great. And they can't figure out, well, what is it that I need to be saved from? And they kind of look at these other half of the people, you know, who don't think that they're good enough, and they're kind of thinking, And people sense that, and they think, oh my gosh, I'm being judged by the church people, you know? Oh, it's hard. It's hard. And worst thing is, you know, when we live out this life, it looks like, you know, there's nothing wrong with us. Can't figure out why Jesus had to die for us, because anything that we did just wasn't that bad. And we're like that son who says, you know, Father, I've been with you the whole time. I've done everything it is that you said. What about me? Oh, it's hard. You see the state of humanity. We're caught between not being good enough and being too good to be saved. It's where we find ourselves on Easter. But you know, Jesus went to the cross for both brothers. Jesus rose again so that those brothers might come together and be part of his family. Sons of the Most High God, and that's who we are too as a church. We're people who come from a different backgrounds and different places and different experiences. But we've all been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And on Easter, we celebrate the fact that what he did for us. It's for us. And now he's given us our life back. And then he says, well, how are you going to live it? And we say, we're going to follow you. And you're going to teach us how to live. And you see, when you do that, it kind of changes the way that you look at life. It's no longer about going to church so that you can get blessed. It's about going to church so that you can bless the name of the one who blessed you first. It's about coming together as a body to bless those who can't bless us back. The lost, the lonely, the poor, the lame, the blind. Everyone that Jesus told us and referred to as the least of these, here we are, let us bless him by blessing them. This Easter Sunday, I wanted to give you an inspiration, a message, a hope, an encouragement. Because here's the thing, church. Zion, I see you living out the resurrection. You know, we were talking about, well, how is it that we're going to celebrate Easter? You know, are we going to have big to-do? Are we going to be known for our enthusiasm? Are we going to be known for big gatherings? What are we going to be known for? Well, why don't we be known as living the resurrection every day by living with Jesus, risen from the dead and with us? See, he's alive. He's risen. This is what I see. I see that with this mortgage thing, with this financial thing, I see that we have had our struggles. And sometimes things have gotten very bleak, but here's the thing, we didn't stop giving. And what we learned was that it isn't about manipulating people. It's about our dependence on God. It's about when we run short, turning to him and asking. It's about learning how to pick up our cross and deny ourselves and follow Jesus, but not circle the wagons and retreat. It's about living as if everything that Jesus said is true and putting it into practice. And I believe that that's what you've done. Jesus said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me and also the one who sent me. And you've opened your arms to the children of this city in a way that I've never seen before. And without expecting anything back. Okay, yeah, sure, sometimes you'd like a thank you or something like that, but, you know, take it up with Jesus, right? I mean, that's kind of how we roll, isn't it? Because it isn't about being thanked. It's about living in such a way that everything that we do glorifies the name of Jesus and gives thanks to Him because of what He's done for us. That's our Easter celebration every day. How about unity? Jesus prayed a prayer, John 17. He says, I pray for all those who will come through the preaching and the message of these 12 disciples, and I pray that they will all be one, these who hear later on. And you know, we struggle with unity, but it's a glorious struggle, and we continue to struggle with it every day for the sake of Jesus risen from the dead. We struggle to be one church. Praises God in 12 languages and worships in 4. Is it easy? No. It's hard. We've got a whole Oikos committee trying to bring us together so that we can be one in a better Jesus-pleasing kind of a way. It takes effort. It'll make you break a sweat, but it's worth it. We come together as churches in the Lower Beaver neighborhood, in the Beaverdale neighborhood, in the Meredith Drive neighborhood, trying to make a stand for unity. It's hard because things get in the way, because you have to die to yourself if you're going to be one together. Are you with me on that? It's hard, but you see, Jesus taught us how to die, and He also taught us how to rise through believing in Him. Wednesday nights, volunteers from all over the city come. It's a glorious thing that you've done to open the doors of this place to everybody. And especially when it comes to people who don't even believe. What a great witness. Praise the Lord. The way that you've opened the door to various ministries in order that they might be headquartered here, in order that they might make a kingdom impact, it's amazing. And I think it honors Jesus. You know, Jesus told us that we were to love our neighbor, and then He also told us that we were to love our enemies. And by enemies, sometimes I think in this day and age where things keep getting fractured, I think maybe that's people who are different than ourselves. Maybe even people who believe different things. I've never seen a church lay down its life to love people who are different in the way that you have. Muslims, Buddhists, animists. You've done that, and in such a way you have been a witness to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Remember Luke 14, the parable of the banquet. Jesus teaches, look, when you give a banquet, don't invite your friends, your family, your rich neighbors, because they'll just invite you back. Instead, invite those who can't invite you back. And you've done that. Why? Because Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive and what He says, it's true. And it's not just a dead philosophy. We're not talking about Aristotle and Plato. We're talking about Jesus. He's alive. And everything that He taught us is absolutely true. And it's for us in the here and in the now. He taught us that it isn't always going to be easy. He taught us that He came to bring not peace but division. In other words, that sometimes it would tear apart families and friendships and all the rest. And yep, sometimes you get called names because you just want to follow Him and you want to do what He says. And people say you're nuts, crazy, or worse. All kinds of names you can be called. But remember, you're in good company because the same thing happened to Jesus. And living every day in resurrection power, He'll give you the ability to overcome that and keep your eyes on Him. I'm proud of you because you've decided to make decisions based on the authority of Jesus and about His teachings, and not because we've always done it that way, and not because we're trying to be hip or different or new or any of that kind of stuff, but it's simply a matter of submitting to the authority of God. And it's beautiful. And also, the way that we have learned to forgive each other and to live together as a resurrection community, understanding that, you know, the things that divide us and the misunderstandings that we have, they cannot keep us apart. But the love of Jesus manifested in that Easter resurrection gives us the ability to overcome it all by going to the cross for each other, by forgiving each other, by loving each other. You've learned that service, if you will, is not an event. It's a way of life. It's not something that you do and then, you know, go home and do it again next quarter. Instead, it follows you home. It becomes a part of your family. I continue to be amazed at the way that you have opened up your houses. You've opened up your dining room tables. You've opened up your lives to include a vast array of people. And you see, here's the thing. I think Jesus loves that. I think that it's what it's all about. There's a part of me that struggles, you know, with the big celebrations, Easter and Christmas, because you know what happens? It all becomes about the ham, doesn't it? I mean, you know, and I struggle with that. I'm not critiquing anybody. I'm not calling anybody names or anything like that. I know the ham is important. Food's important. Jesus ate. You should too. It's just the fact that, you know, so oftentimes what ends up happening is we just close ourselves off. Because we got to get home because we got guests coming. But they're our family and they're our friends. And maybe if we're lucky next year, it'll be at their house and they'll have to worry about the ham. And we kind of trade off who's going to suffer this year with the ham, who's going to do the dishes. We just get so Martha about life that we forget just to sit at the feet of Jesus and throw the doors open and let the hungry come in. Let the strangers come in. And I tell you something, I mean, you know, this is something we need to improve on, right? Did you know there are people in our church who have never had a meal in the home of somebody who wasn't of their race? Think about it. Why? And is that something that honors Jesus, or is that something that we can change in order that he be high and lifted up, in order that we might achieve unity and love and joy, that we might put an end to misunderstandings and strife, that we might die a little bit to ourselves in order that he lives more mightily within us? Oh, we have nothing but opportunities. And praise God, because of the resurrection, we have time. And we have time to grow together. We have time to see so many more miracles. We have time to be a church after his own heart. We have time yet to make disciples, to teach them about the things that are eternal, and to continue to grow in what it means to live in an everlasting way in the here and the now. And it's all because he's risen. And because he's alive, and because what he taught us is true, we have a way. It's his way. We have a life. It's his life. And we have truth because it's his truth. God bless you. Happy Easter. Amen.